The Brad Sessmatt Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
It's good Tuesday. Thanks for being with us. We are back after a fabulous... I needed a break. I was burned out. No, I wasn't burned out. It was just great to get away. Thanks to Sandy Charles. She did a great job yesterday filling in on the show. We have Drew Pearson with us today. That Drew Pearson, the Hall of Fame to be wide receiver of the Dallas Cowboys. I want stories of Roger Staubach. I want stories of the late, great Tom Landry. If you're a Dallas Cowboy fan, this is going to be a trip down memory lane. Also, you know, we talk about Drew Pearson. What does he see in Larry Fitzgerald, Kyler Murray, because the ties in Texas? So a lot to get to with the Hall of Famer to be finally get into the Hall of Fame, Drew Pearson. We like having the Hall of Famers on. Opening comments are brought to you by Desert Financial Credit Union. Desert Financial Credit Union, taking care of you, taking care of your business, as they do with Sports 360 AZ. That is Desert Financial Credit Union. They're across the valley, and before you know it, they will be statewide. We appreciate Jeff Mishi and team and their support. Spurge is with us this morning from Arizona State. What is happening on campus? What are, in the sports world, what are people buzzing about on campus today? Anything?
Hey, Brad, I think the biggest thing that I'm noticing is actually softball. They've pretty much trended all weekend on social media. They were 4-0. Bat flips were going national for Maddie Hackbarth, just hitting monstrous home runs, hitting the side of the gymnasium over there where gymnastics practices and bat flipping. So that's actually been really exciting on campus. I've heard a lot of buzz about that. I'm seeing them on all sort of like national accounts being retweeted and posted about this. So they've been buzzing. Basketball is pretty much an afterthought at this point. I think people are moving on to the spring sports, which is where Pac-12 excels anyways. SU excels. I think that's where everybody's focus is at now, which is cool.
Do you follow tennis at all?
I've been slowly talking about them more because I have some friends who are covering them, and they've been doing really well so far.
Not ASU tennis. I mean, like, Serena is going to play Osaka, which to me, it's like LeBron against Kobe. It's like any greatness, when greatness takes the field, takes the court, takes the diamond, whatever. Back in the day, if Randy Johnson was pitching against Clayton Kershaw, you know, the world stopped. It was great. And so Osaka won today, I watched, and Serena won. And so we have this titanic battle. And the last time they met, Serena had a meltdown at the U.S. Open a few years back, just completely lost her mind. I'm very much looking for, you might want to take it in.
Yeah, I think I want to watch that. Over the last week since the Bucks have won the Super Bowl, there's been a lot of debate on the greatest athlete. And a lot of people say Serena Williams and some of the best tennis players are miles ahead of Brady. So, as individual athletes themselves, the greatest athlete of all time being so dominant, it makes a lot of sense. So I definitely got to watch that then.
Serena's man has a shirt on that said greatest athlete, not female, just greatest athlete. And, Osaka is coming in here kind of is the underdog. But like I watch Djokovic break a racket, and I think it's cool when I see people lose their minds. He just took this racket, and he's talking about after he's like, poor racket. The local story in town, the big local professional story in town, because I've seen some of the softball stuff up on the site, and it's great. It's great to put that up, and I want more of that. But in town tonight, for the Phoenix Suns to be sitting there on the precipice of a perfect 7-0 homestand. And it doesn't matter that there was more bad teams than good in the NBA. It doesn't matter because the Suns have actually beat some good teams. Philadelphia is not a bad team. Milwaukee, not a bad team. Tonight, the Nets, it doesn't matter. I'm already getting the excuse makers of, well, they played last night in Sacramento. Well, Kevin Durant's not going to play. Tough. That's life in the NBA. But it's Steve Nash coaching Brooklyn tonight, with Mike D'Antoni next to him, Amari next to him. Spurge, if you were to go think of your idol of teams, this is like the heavyweights of those Suns fans. All the idols, there's James Harden out there, a Sun Devil legend, and there's Kyrie, who fans love to boo. And all this is taking place tonight in downtown Phoenix, in our little hometown, our little slice of heaven. It's great.
Yeah, I talked about it this morning. This is two Suns eras clashing. That was the last time the Suns were great. Those back-to-back Steve Nash MVP years with Amari Stoudemire, Mike D'Antoni.
Yep.
Now you've got Chris Paul and Devin Booker and whoever you consider the third player. I think Mikal Bridges. Everybody else says Ayton. I think Bridges is a little bit better right now. But you've got two heavyweights, so this will be a lot of fun to watch. And it's going to be on a national stage, which they don't get a lot of. And they're slowly getting more of that. And that's what happens when you add Chris Paul to your team and you're winning games like this. So this is the place to be tonight, is watching the Suns. And I know there's fans in the stadium, which is awesome. And you can watch it on, what are they, on TNT or ESPN tonight?
Yeah, they're on TNT. Yeah, they're on TNT. And they're on Fox Sports Arizona, too. So your show, when is your show air over at Blaze? If people are like, well, this Spurge guy, he started showing up here over the last month. What's he all about? You're on the air over at Blaze. Where's Blaze Radio? Where can they find you? When are you on?
Yeah, so I'm on every Tuesday from 9 to 10 a.m. out here in Arizona. And you can find me at www.blazeradioonline.com. There's a stream button up there. That's where we stream our shows. And a lot of stuff like this. I'm getting phone call interviews at least once a show now. So it's not just me. And I like talking to people, whether it's someone professional or just a friend or a buddy. Yeah. Say, I had my friend from Palomar College back at the KKSM days on. So that was fun. Talked a lot about that. And just recently started going from all national stuff to adding the first 20 minutes being local. So talked a lot of Suns. Good. I never talk hockey, but I talked about the Coyotes today. I mean, that 7-game stretch was really cool to see history right here in Arizona, playing 7 consecutive regular season games against the same opponent.
Same team, yeah.
Talked about that.
There's a story in The Athletic today about the Coyotes. Have you seen it? Have you heard about it?
Touched on that.
Yeah.
Yeah, touched on that briefly. That's gonna
not
be,
pretty.
That's going to be a mess. No.
Just not good. It's always something with the Coyotes. For those of you that don't know what we're talking about, so The Athletic today did a terrific deep dive. It's 20 minutes. I mean, it's beyond sitting in the bathroom. It is. It's sitting like over coffee and then in the back porch and maybe in the bathroom and then in your office. But it's forever. It's so well done and so deep. And I'm sure the Coyotes are like, no, this is – there will be something coming from them today saying, you know – this isn't all that it's cracked up to be. That's going to happen.
Yeah.
But it was great, I thought. I thought it was very, very well done, and a lot of sourcing, a lot of journalism that went on there. And look, people look at pro sports franchises and think it's the end all, and most of them are dysfunctional. If you peel back the onion, most sports franchises are jacked up. There's very few that just go about their business. So...
yeah, it's like just it. Like big businesses. You've got your Amazons and your Walmarts and all that, and then you've got other big businesses that are run super poorly. It's the same thing in sports. Not every owner is great. Not every foundation is set. A lot of them really just stink from top to bottom.
All right. Well, get out of here. Good work. And you're going to do something on the Suns tonight on the site. I'll let you go off that. See you later.
Thanks, Brad.
There's Spurge. Jordan Spurgeon does great work. So I... back in the day, I just was a workaholic. It doesn't mean I don't work hard now. I'm in the work hard, play smart, have fun. I'm in that mode. And I work hard doing this, and it's in the mornings early or it's late at nights. So I'm free to go do things during the day and go be a dad, go be a father, go be a husband, go volunteer, go do things in the community. And I had some people that got into me in my late 20s, early 30s that said, you're just running aimlessly. You're doing too much stuff. I had to be at everything. And so with our youngest, he's in water polo. He's 16. He's into football. He's into water polo. He's into a lot of things. So he had a tournament in St. George, Utah. Never been to St. George, Utah. It was this past weekend. I left a day early, and we ended up going to the Grand Canyon. And that was awesome. There was nobody there. Nobody. And went up to St. George, went over to Zion, hiked around there, did some water polo tournaments, went to Vegas, spent a night in Vegas, and I'm back and ready to go. But if you're too busy, guys, if you're pushing family to the margins, don't do it. Don't do it. Drew Pearson, Hall of Fame wide receiver of the Dallas Cowboys. He's going to be inducted later this year. Drew Pearson joins me on the other side. What is he up to these days? I want stories. I want his view of Kyler Murray and Larry Fitzgerald and much more with the great Dallas Cowboy Drew Pearson. That's next. As promised, now it's a real thrill to talk to a Hall of Famer and someone that the reaction on Drew Pearson's face when David Baker was at the door, it's gone viral. It's one of those moments where you look at someone and you say, it's about damn time on one hand. And on the other hand, with just a great wide receiver, the Hall of Famer to be, he will be enshrined in August in Canton. He joins us for a few moments. The moment with David Baker, let's just start there, Drew, and what that was like.
Yeah, that's a good start. They got me good. They kind of set me up, you know. During this pandemic, I guess the Pro Football Hall of Fame committee and Mr. Baker tried to do things a little different. So they went and visit all the finalists and surprised them with in a personal visit and letting them know that they've been inducted in the class of 2021 in Pro Football Hall of Fame. So they got me good, and they knew who to use to get me. Mm-hmm. And they used my quarterback, Roger Staubach. He was part of the setup. And also Mr. Jerry Jones was part of the setup. And I went over to the Cowboy facility thinking I'm going over there for a business meeting. And it turned out to be, when I heard that knock on the door, Jerry Jones said, "Drew, answer the door." When I answered the door, in that doorwell, filled up was big David Baker, and he had this bright green jacket on and a bright green and white tie. And he came in with a camera crew behind him, and he said, "Drew, you're the newest member of the senior committee, senior nominee to be selected into the Pro Football Hall of Fame." And then from there, boom, emotions kind of just took over from there for sure.
Now you've got to get Roger and Jerry back. That's a hard one to get back on,
Roger and I, you know, Roger and I, when we played, we had this telepathy, you know. I could look at him and tell what he wanted me to run. He could look at me knowing I picked it up. But walking in together, I picked up nothing from that, you know. He didn't give me any indication. So even though he's my favorite quarterback, I'm still a little upset with him. Not too upset, just a little.
He is the Hall of Famer Drew Pearson with us for a few moments, the great Dallas Cowboy. All right, you're doing a lot of stuff. You've launched a podcast. You're doing work with WellMed. I always like to talk with Hall of Famers about life after football. You look great. You're going into the Hall of Fame, but you're doing some other things. Fill us in on the other things you're doing.
Yeah, you know, I've gotten a lot of opportunities because my name, likeness, and presence as a former Dallas Cowboy. And if you're smart or if you care enough, you'll take advantage of that, not only for yourself personally. You know, I've had many opportunities to do business because of being a former Dallas Cowboy. I actually did business with my previous company, Drew Pearson Marketing, with the NFL for 9 seasons and paid them a lot more in royalty payments selling headwear than they ever paid me for 11 years playing football. So I kind of paid them back in full. Our value is in our what we can establish in our lives after football. We didn't make money we could live off the rest of our lives. So, yeah, we've gotten in a business because we can get business opportunities because people recognize our name and we can get in the door. And then if we have something to sell, we can hopefully get those business, take advantage of those business opportunities, but also on the charitable side. You know, we have a lot of power as former Dallas Cowboys, especially in this area, to give back and support a lot of different charities. And so I try to do that. And, I've lost family members to cancer, heart disease, and things of that nature. So those kind of efforts are important to me. You mentioned WellMed. You know, WellMed is something that a lot of people don't know about, but the way they help seniors in finding the right medical care and a group of doctors they have to support that, you know, it's a very important part of health wellness for adults moving forward. And a lot of people don't know about WellMed, but it's a very worthwhile organization. I always say the best way to appreciate WellMed or some of these charitable organizations is to imagine them not being there, you know, not being there to help so many people that they do help. So I like to give back to the community in any way I can. And charitable efforts is just one way to do that.
You're doing a podcast, I hear. What's that all about?
Yeah, I just started that. Just gotten into the podcast business. I figured I'd done so many interviews on podcasts, I figured I'd start my own, And so it's the, we're doing the ultimate Hail Mary, and we're going to talk about my journey to the Pro Football Hall of Fame, all the things I had to overcome to get there. We're going to have special guests. We're going to do entertainment. You know, we went around the country with my co-host, Paul Salfin, and asked celebrities around the country what their favorite Hail Mary moment is or was. And to our surprise, everybody knew what a Hail Mary was, And then they say, yeah, we had Hail Mary moments in our lives, So that's what the show will be about, It would be sports, business, entertainment, and charitable efforts as well, talking about all those types of things on all my new podcasts.
Yeah. Who's your wish guest? The guy, the girl that you look at and say, man, I don't know if I can get them, but I'm going to try my darndest. Do you have one of those yet?
No, I'm not. That's my co-host, Paul Salfin's area. I'm not too much in the movie entertainment. I'm kind of old school,
Yeah.
I want to mention the Temptations and people like that. Right. That's how old school I am, So he will handle that. But, I've had a show, Drew Pearson Live. We've had Larry Hagman. We've had Dustin Hoffman, people like that on the show expressing their Hail Mary moment. Yeah. And again, it's so surprising that these guys know what a Hail Mary is. That's how Hail Mary, the term, has spread through the sports world, of course, the business world, the charitable world, and the entertainment world. Everybody knows that they've had Hail Mary moments, but they didn't know, what to call them back in the day. Well, since Roger and I made that famous in 1975 in the frozen tundra of Metropolitan Stadium, now and called it a Hail Mary, and they know what that kind of situation is. And I think everybody, including you, probably been in some Hail Mary situations.
There's no question about it. And what's interesting is out here, Drew, we've had two Hail Mary moments that have been renamed. One was an Arizona State wide receiver, a Jail Mary. This was at the end of a game at USC in Arizona State where it looked like ASU was going to lose final play. They call it the Jail Mary because it was Jalen that caught it. And then we have the Kyler moment this last year with DeAndre Hopkins, the Hail Murray, they call it out here. Yeah. I'm sure you saw that play against Buffalo many, many times. And so it does resonate even all these years later. What would it be, 46, 36 years later? It still resonates, like you say.
Yeah. Yeah, we're in the 45th year of that catch. We just had the 45th anniversary on December 28th, and I caught it December 28th, 1975. So, yeah. And we know about Hail Murray around here because when that happened, it was headlines because Kyler Murray is a hero. He's a legend around here, from his days at Allen High School where he never lost a football game. And then his, of course, his days at OU. And now we're following him in the pros. So we're proud of him. And I'm glad we got something associated. We can connect with each other. He's got a Hail Murray and I got a Hail Mary. That's pretty cool.
Before I get you out of here, a couple other questions. We're with Drew Pearson. He's going into the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Getting in, he will be enshrined in August. When you see Larry Fitzgerald, what do you see as a wide receiver who's going into the Hall of Fame?
I see the consummate wide receiver, And I know he'll be joining us quite soon. As soon as he retires in 5 years, he'll be there. I hope they put his bust next to me because I respect this guy. So much for what he's done, but not just what he's done. And first of all, how he's done it with class and dignity and pride and leading that organization the way it's supposed to be led. And then having the longevity of in that position in the NFL, I played 11 seasons. I might have, if I didn't have a off the field incident that forced me to retire, I might have played a little longer, but I don't think I could play as long as Larry Fitzgerald is playing. And not just the play, but be productive while you're playing. Mm-hmm. And what a blessing it must be to Coach Cliff Kingsbury and also to the quarterback, Kyler Murray, that you have somebody on the team like that. Because he can set the pace not only on the football field, but he could set the pace in a locker room. And one thing I learned when I became a Dallas Cowboy is with the people around me, I not only learned how to be a good football player, but I learned how to be a professional, not only on the field, but off the field. And if people pick up on Larry Fitzgerald, they'll learn how to be a professional on the field and off the field as well. Much props for him, for sure.
When you see players, I think we're in a day and age, Drew, where there are parents of players, I'm talking more high school, that feel like if you don't get the college scholarship, you're never going to make it to the NFL. And you walked on, right? You were undrafted, I should say.
Yeah, undrafted.
As an undrafted player going into the NFL, do you look at today's, where social media is always about stars and you've got to be the greatest and the biggest and the baddest, and say, guys, look at me. I'm going to the Pro Football Hall of Fame and I was undrafted.
Yeah. Well, hope that what that does is give people courage, encourage them, give them inspiration, motivation that they can overcome anything that is put in front of their lives. You know, the good Lord puts us on a path and we have to follow that path. And along that path, yeah, we're going to have some adversity. And we're going to have some challenges, but if we're smart enough, we can use that adversity and challenges to step onto bigger, you know, and better things. You know, I didn't cry or blame anybody when I didn't get drafted. And that's back when they had 17 rounds of the draft, 452 players, you know, and not getting drafted. I was very disappointed. But when I got that opportunity, I said, that's all I need. All I needed to do was get in the door. And from there, I was able to expand my footprint, you know, not in a fast way, but gradually expand my footprint within that Dallas Cowboy organization, where I eventually made myself valuable to the football team and especially valuable to the offense. So no matter what the situation looks initially, you know, look further than that. Look what I can do to overcome that, to make me better, to continue to move on. And not relish on the negatives. If I relished on that, not getting drafted, I wouldn't have been prepared mentally to do what I had to do to make that Dallas Cowboy football team. And, you know, back then it wasn't easy. You know, we had 100 rookies in training camp, 17 draft picks, and the rest were free agents like myself. And so you were like going up against the odds, so to speak, because of the numbers. But my philosophy then was to take one day at a time, and not look too far ahead and make that one day as valuable or impressive as I could, so it can lead to another day they're trying to make that Cowboy football team. But never give up, no matter what the circumstances look like initially, because at the end of the road, you know, there's always something good there.
Have you thought about who is going to present you? Do you already know this for the Hall of Fame?
No, I don't, but I have been thinking about that. And especially since so many people have been asking me about that lately, it's coming to the forefront now.
Sure.
And if they were here, it'd be no question to be either Coach Landry. Mm-hmm. I'm not Drew Pearson. I'm not a Dallas Cowboy, not the football player I was without him, or Harvey Martin, who was my best friend, my roommate. We came in the league together. We played 11 seasons together. We retired at the same time. Same thing with Billy Joe Dupree. But, you know, unfortunately, they're not with us, and God rest their souls. But, you know, now I got to go to the next level. And first of all, guy would be Roger Staubach, my quarterback. And that seems pretty logical to a lot of people. Then I got to go to my family. I have three beautiful adult kids that would do a great job doing that. And, you know, growing up, I had three brothers and three sisters, and it's only two of us left. And my sister, she's older, and I think she could do a good job with that opportunity as well. So it'll come down to one of those three scenarios.
Last question. What made the Cowboys in your era that is still to this day the Cowboys? What was it about your group?
I think it was more than anything, the consistency in winning. You know, I played 11 seasons, never had a losing seasons, made the playoff 10 of those 11 seasons, played in 7 NFC championship games, and ended up in 3 Super Bowls. So it's a consistency of winning, I think, that led us to be called America's team back in the day. And that's through that time, that's when the Cowboys took off. You know, back in the day around here, it was J.R. Ewing, the TV show Dallas, and then the Dallas Cowboys are the two most popular things going. And because of that, you know, we got a national acclaim. And then when you got a leader and coach like Tom Landry, you know, the way he comes out of the tunnel with the suit and tie and the night fedora, you know, he doesn't look like a head coach. He looks like a CEO getting ready to do a business meeting, you know, instead of coaching a football game. And a lot of people gravitate toward that. You know, my mom, God rest her soul, she just loved Coach Landry. She just wanted to see every game to see what he would have on, you know, during on the sideline before every game. And then you got a guy like Roger Staubach, your quarterback, Captain America and stuff like that. People gravitate toward that. You put all that together and then you become America's team. You become one of the most popular franchises. And look how strong they are still today. You know, was it 25 years or so since they won a Super Bowl, something like that, you know, and they still get the respect. They're still the number one most valuable sports franchise of all, you know, despite not having success on the field. So you know why that is? That's because of the foundation that was built. That foundation is so strong enough that it can weather 25 years of not having success or not what we call success, going to the playoffs and then going to Super Bowls. So we'll hopefully they can start turning this thing around and understand that these are the opportunities. These players have to understand these are the opportunities now to make a name for themselves. Yeah, they make a lot of money, but you like want to try to create an identity for yourself after you leave football. You know, people, I was coming through the airport from leaving the Super Bowl this past weekend. The guy comes up to me and pats me on my back and says, nice to meet you, Drew, and good luck this season. You know, he thinks I'm still playing. So I said, that's how Cowboy fans feel about you and the respect that you have that you can carry into your life after football. And a lot of these guys don't understand that now, but hopefully they'll wake up and understand. And if you get around a guy like Larry Fitzgerald, you might learn how to understand that, because the value in your life after football is how people perceive you and the respect they have for you and your name and what you've done while you were playing football.
Yeah. Did Landry or Staubach ever get on you? Did you get on?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I mean, how was Landry getting on you? Because you're right. The image is here's the man with a great looking suit and the fedora. So getting on someone that just wasn't seen outwardly.
No, he didn't do it outwardly. I mean, he did it, but it wasn't no yelling, you know, it was a conversation. It was talking. Coach Landry never raised his voice. He didn't have to. All he had to do was open his mouth and bam, you know, we straighten up, you know, he used to walk through the locker room. The locker room would be buzzing with all kinds of talk and everything. He'd come through it and it'd be silent, you know. We'd be in the meeting room waiting for the meeting to start, buzzing around, talking. He walks in the room. It's quiet, you know. He commanded that type of respect. And you know why he commanded that type of respect? Because he earned it. He earned it. He worked harder than anybody. You know, he was pretty much our offensive coordinator. He was pretty much our defensive coordinator. The only thing he didn't touch was the special teams, you know. And so he had the respect there because he worked so hard. But one of the greatest compliments Coach Landry ever gave me, he said, Drew, you're very coachable. And I said, Coach, what does that mean? He said, well, when I tell you something, you grasp it, you understand it, and then you go apply it out there on the field. And then when you make a mistake, you correct that and you don't make the same mistake twice. And so that's one of the greatest compliments a coach can give you when you says something like that, that you're very coachable. And that means you're not selfish. You're being thinking about the team more so than yourself. And you know that if the team success is successful, then you're going to be successful. You know, if we didn't win all those games, you wouldn't be talking to me right now. I wouldn't be in the Hall of Fame.
No, that's right.
Because we had so much success and that name recognition, playing national televised games and all that kind of stuff. You know, people recognized the name Drew Pearson. And I was able to parlay that into business opportunities. Every door we went into, I sold headwear, licensed headwear for 23 years. NFL, Major League Baseball, NBA, did I say NHL? college, university, NASCAR, you know, sold a lot of hats, but we got those opportunities. Well, gotten the door to get those opportunities because they all recognize the name Drew Pearson. Yeah, bring them in here for a meeting. We'd like to meet them,
yeah.
Sign some autographs and stuff like that.
Sure.
And then once we got all through that, then we get an opportunity to talk business. And so it is of value to you, your name recognition and how you carry yourself while you play, to turn it into something after you play in your life after football.
Yeah, it's a great story, Drew. I mean, it really is. And to think of an undrafted player and then Tom Landry sitting there pouring into you, or you get to a point where you've impressed him enough that, yeah, this undrafted player is going to make the team. And then this undrafted player is going to go onto the Pro Football Hall of Fame. You know, that's quite a journey. I appreciate the time and the insight and the visit. Good luck on the podcast and also with WellMed. That's good stuff there that you're doing.
Thank you.
We appreciate the time.
Thank you, sir. Thanks for having the original number 88, HOF 2021. Thank you, sir.
There's Drew Pearson. And we're back with more after this timeout.